This hour brought to you by GCNLife.com. Live younger, look younger, feel younger at GCNLife.com.
Welcome back to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
William, of course, we always have to interrupt for pieces of business, but go ahead, please.
Right. I understand that. Continuing with the radar analysis, the weather radar data did pick up something, because radar will pick up stationary targets. It's not set up to pick up aircraft or UFOs because it has a narrower beam width, but if something flies through it or is hovering, it will pick it up. So whether would you say that's a radar visual? Maybe, maybe not, but certainly it does, the possibility is there. But the real thing is the amount of energy that this thing would have had to expend to blow a hole in clouds. And as a meteorologist, I had to go back to the National Climatic Data Center, and we use satellite data to determine the cloud tops. And the clouds were about, the top of the clouds was about 10 or 11,000 feet, meaning the clouds are about 10,000 foot thick. And they were solid clouds because we use that with the bloom soundings. They were solid cloud deck. And the amount of energy it took in this 1 or 2 seconds to blow a hole in the clouds, and we figured roughly 30 meter diameter, between 10 and 30 meters, was equivalent of a 747 flying at the speed of sound. So a lot of energy, a lot of kilojoules is a unit we use. So, you know, that in itself means that it was quite unidentified. And the FAA also issued a notice to airmen on landing and takeoff that there was a UFO spotted. So that kind of recaps my involvement in NARCAF's analysis. We concluded it was a UAP, not, of course, UFO. They don't like to use that term. That particular report was sent to all members of Congress and to the FAA, but nothing ever happened. So well, that was my involvement.
So you have a master's in atmospheric science, right?
Correct.
How do you explain how a craft, I mean, any kind of craft for that matter, can simply punch a hole through cloud cover? And from some of the reports, if I recall correctly, that people, if you looked underneath it, you could see right through up into the clear sky. So, I mean, you would think that there would have to be some kind of turbulence or something generated that will just, you know, pull the clouds in around it. I mean, how do you get this perfect cylindrical hole? It sounds almost impossible.
It would take a massive amount of heat to cause evaporation to get rid of the condensed cloud vapor to do that. And for that amount of energy in that short a time, that's not something man-made that could do that. You know, there was no sound. I mean, it just shot straight up through there. And that hole sat in the clouds until, you know, the normal cloud movement, the winds aloft, mixing the clouds back together and closed the hole back up. It's just a massive amount of energy, particularly in that short period of time, and there's no sound. So right. It was evaporation that did it. You know, I mean, that can be done. I mean, they do that with airports, you know, or through cloud seeding, seeding out fog, you know, and blowing holes in fog. But generally the fog is not near as thick as what this was, this cloud layer was.
Right. I've heard of cloud seeding and stuff with dry ice and other, and even other types of stuff with certain kinds of chemicals that go in there. I mean, like, say if you see a balloon rise up through the mist just sort of envelops the whole thing and you don't get a hole happening at all. It sounds like a very strange thing for sure.
It definitely was. And, you know, I wasn't the only one that worked on that case. I mean, we had physicists, other atmospheric scientists, air traffic controllers, pilots. I mean, a wide spectrum of people that I wasn't the only one that even did the radar data. An air traffic controller, we did independent analyses and kind of came up with the same thing. And physicists determined the amount of energy that it took to blow a hole in the clouds like that. And there's been other cases of UFOs blowing holes in clouds. That's not the first time that's happened, but it's probably the same phenomena. Just a lot of energy expending, and who knows what propulsion system this thing had. I mean, that's a mystery within itself.
Yeah, we're still trying to figure that one out. I mean, we're working with jet propulsion, still some sort of, I guess, with the exception of certain things like maglevs and that sort of thing. But when it comes to aircraft, now we've either got lighter than air, like balloons, or we've got some sort of powered flight. I guess we've got gliders too, but they can't perform like whatever this thing was.
That's correct. I mean, you know, and the NARCAP report, which people can find online, it's like 120 pages or something. People can read that entire report. The same report went to all members of Congress. And you just throw out the numbers and you look at it and says, no, nobody knew what could cause that. But nothing more ever happened. I mean, that was a incident that.
I think they made a movie about it, too. One of our guests in the past said that there's actually a show out there that you can check out. There's a bit of a documentary-style docudrama about it. But, okay, so you're with MUFON. You're also with UFOs Northwest and with NARCAP. Like, do you guys all play nice together, or does MUFON have any issues with running your own organization there as well? Or how do you find the politics there between the various organizations?
There's always politics, but Jan Harzen's the director of MUFON, and I know him. He's a real nice guy. And Jan invited me to be MUFON director and about a year ago. And I had been prior to a couple years ago to last year, I also was MUFON director for Montana. And I discussed my UFOs Northwest and NARCAP involvement, and NARCAP was working with MUFON too. They're not now because they're kind of a defunct organization right now, as far as I know. But I told Jan, well, you know, I may want to pull Montana cases off the site and put on my own UFO sightings Montana site. And he said, no, that's okay. Just give us credit. So, no, we discussed that, and there was no problem. But I'd like to kind of lead into the reason that Jan and I had this discussion about me being director was another interesting case that I investigated that happened in, I believe it was December 9th, 2017. If we have the time, I'd like to discuss that case.
Oh, absolutely, yeah. Gene will let us know when we have the break, and in the meantime, by all means, let's hear it.
Basically, and I'm pretty sure that's the right date. By the way, your listeners can go to my website, UFOs Northwest, and find all these cases that we're talking about tonight, or depending on where you're at this afternoon, tonight, or this morning, where you're at in the world. And essentially what happened is there were sightings in many states on the eastern seaboard, all the way through the Midwest and the western U.S., I think even some on the West Coast, of rows, a straight row of red and white lights on the evening of December 9th, 2017. The military dispelled it right away. It got in the media that they were C-17 and C-130 aircraft Carton paratrooper, a joint strike exercise to bases in Nevada, dropping paratroopers. Case closed immediately. So being in Montana, I said, well, what happened in Montana? There were 17 sightings. I might be wrong. It was in the teens. I can't remember the exact number. In Montana that night alone.
Boy, time flies here, you know, with William Puckett. He's going into more detail about some amazing sightings that we're glad to hear about. With Gene, Randall, William, you're in
the Paracast.
Attack of the Rockoids has been well received by critics and readers alike. It's a thrill-a-minute story you'll never forget. A former U.S. military intelligence officer is haunted by intense dreams about a beautiful woman pleading for his help after a terrible battle in outer space. But the dreams turn out to be true and thrust him into a telepathic love affair with a woman whose faraway planet is intent on destroying the Earth. And now the gripping tale continues in The Coming of the Protectors. It's the second book of the Rockoids trilogy, a galaxy-spanning adventure that pits our hapless heroes against powerful, fanatical enemies that threaten the lives of freedom-loving beings everywhere. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors, classic science fiction at its best, available now. For more details, visit Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids.com.
Stocks and options trading involves financial risk and is not suitable for all investors.
Hey guys, it's Scott Bauer here, CEO of Prosper Trading Academy. Are you looking for a super hot stock tip? Here at Prosper, we are always looking for exciting opportunities in the markets. And right now, all my students are salivating over this stock we are watching. In fact, I've got this hot stock written down right here, and I'm about to text it to you for free. I just need to know where to send it. Simply text HOT to 48542, and I'll text it to you instantly. How do I know this stock is so hot? Well, I'm a former CBOE market maker for Amazon Options, former vice president of Goldman Sachs, and I have over 25 years of professional trading experience. I'm telling you, this stock is hot. But be warned, the stock may move soon, so you need to claim it before it does. Text HOT to 48542, and I'll text you this hot stock instantly. Text HOT to 48542, and I'll text you this hot stock instantly. Message and data rates may apply.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
The reviews for Extendivite are amazing. Here are some from Amazon. By Christine, great for heart palpitations. By Anne, before I started using this product, every afternoon, my ankles and my hands would be swollen. That doesn't happen anymore. So if that part of their advertising is true, I have to assume that the rest of it is also. Not to mention that when I had my yearly blood test, only a few weeks after beginning to use this product, my cholesterol had dropped over 30 points. I'm going to continue to take it. By Croc, I love this product. It really works. By Brad, works great. Thank you. Tell us your story. Get your Extendivite today. To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Maybe not today, maybe not tomorrow, but soon you'll need a plan and place to survive. Forget bunkers. You're not a live underground gopher. You need survivalist camps, the ultimate fully functional, off-the-grid mobile survival bug out house that's well equipped and custom built to outlast any other RV or trailer. Bold statement, you bet. See them now at survivalistcamps.com. That's survivalistcamps.com. Trust your family's survival to survivalistcamps.com.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
William Pocket, go ahead, please continue describing this case.
Well, it happened on December 9, 2017, so I decided to look at Montana, cases in Montana, and I believe somewhere around 13 or 15 sessions, which is really unusual in Montana. I mean, normally we get two or three cases a month at most. this is one night, and several parts of the western and central, even into eastern Montana, and the cases came to the Mutual UFO Network, National UFO Reporting Center. I got some in Colorado and Oklahoma and Kansas that same night, but not from Montana. But when I looked at the cases in Montana, I decided to request radar data, aviation radar data, which I did.
Can I just ask you briefly here, while we're on that, how do you get radar data to be able to look at and interpret? Can you describe that process just briefly for us?
It's a very difficult process. It can be very expensive and very resource intensive in terms of computer facilities. You have to write a Freedom of Information request to the Federal Aviation Administration. They control the radar. There's 400 long-range radars in the U.S., and some of them are along the borders. And there's several short-range radar at traffic control facilities. I don't know how many of those. There's many more. So you have to write a request. You have to tell them exactly what you want, the sites that you want, and it can be extremely expensive. My particular request went up to, I think, $500, and I never got all the data I wanted because it's too expensive. And then you have to unpack it, bring it into a software spreadsheet, which is what I do. Then you got to map it. Then you got to analyze it beyond that. There's only a few people in the United States that do this. I'm probably one of a half dozen, at least with respect to UFOs, that do it. So it's very resource intensive.
Interesting. Does MUFON help you with the expenses on that at all?
Well, this particular case, this is before I was Montana director. So no, they will if they ask me to do analysis. Yes, they will pay for it. This case, they didn't because I did it on my own. But they made a lot of their own requests independent of mine. MUFON did.
Interesting. Well, maybe we can come back to that a little later. But, please continue telling us about this December 9th, 2017 flap that was going on.
So what did I find in Montana? Well, the radar showed, as far as regular aircraft, a number of aircraft moving west-northwest. And that's normal. A lot of flights from Chicago, Minneapolis, and New York are going to Seattle and Portland, and a few going into Canada. And they were flying 400 to 500 knots, which is a cruise speed of jetliners. There were a few aircraft on approach because they were losing altitude. Some were taking off, gaining altitude. I did not find any C-117 or C-130 aircraft because I know how fast they fly, how high they fly. There were no C-130s or C-17s that I could see. So I continued my quest, Freedom of Information request, the Montana Air National Guard in Great Falls. They are the only military installation in Montana that would do any flying. They did not, I repeat, did not have any aircraft in the air that night because most of the aircraft took off from the Carolinas, I believe, that were the paratrooper exercise. They did not have any aircraft in the air that night. So the radar did show a band of unidentified objects flying to the south-southeast about 30 to 40 knots, about 30 miles east of Helena in a town called Townsend, Montana. A few people I would call debunkers said those were birds. Were they birds? I don't know. Maybe, maybe not. I mean, this is December in Montana, and people normally aren't outside looking at the skies in December. If they are, they'd have
to be moving pretty fast for birds at that speed, right? I mean,
right.
That's pretty quick.
And I did not get the data that I wanted. I had to narrow the perimeter because of the expense. And so I narrowed it down to about a 35 nautical mile perimeter, like not centralized here in Helena, but kind of east here of where I live in Helena, Montana, to get the FOIA request down to where I could afford it. But that's what I found. And the military, I mean, I talked to the public affairs officer at the Montana Aeronautical Guard, the old Nelson Air Force Base in Great Falls. There was nothing in the air that night. So what I saw in Montana, there were no paratrooper exercises in Montana. So what were all those lines of red and white flashing lights that night? I mean, the 15 or so reports, UFOs, UAP, not C-117, not C-130, not regular jetliners. That's why when Jan and I talked about, Jan originally and I talked about my analysis, because I sent my data to MUFON so they could take an independent look at it, and they were doing some of their own analysis, and they found some strange things also. But I haven't been involved in theirs, just from the extent of Montana. So that's how I became MUFON director for Montana. Again, I got involved in that particular case.
Well, that's pretty interesting. I was just checking out, and well, I guess Canada geese, they do fly around, say, 40 miles per hour. So I guess it would be in range for that, but I can't imagine them having a bunch of, you know, red and white lights strapped to them. That doesn't make much sense.
That's correct. I mean, what were they? I mean, I also sent my analysis to Peter Davenport, National UFO Reporting Center, and we agreed, you know, we didn't have an explanation. He subsequently discussed my analysis on Coast to Coast with George Norrie. I believe the day that I sent it to him, he discussed it with George Norrie when he was on the show that night. Ironically enough, exactly a week later, December 16th, 2017, the New York Times printed that article about the Pentagon spending all those $22 million on UFO sightings, you know, analysis.
Right, the ATIP program. Yeah.
Right, and that happened. Is that a coincidence? I don't know. You know, you gotta ask yourself that question. And, I mean, Harry Reid, I mean, at that time, majority leader of the Senate, you know, I mean, he approved that funding. He was the one that kind of spearheaded it. Ironically enough, I got involved in that, not knowing it at the time, because Robert Bigelow was a government contractor that worked with the Pentagon on analyzing a lot of those cases. And I got many calls over that period of time where Robert Bigelow's people were involved. And he had several top-notch investigators that worked for him.
Ah, yes, Robert Bigelow. Okay. More to come with William, Gene, and Randall. You're in
the Paracast.
You are listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Most of you know that heart disease is the number one silent killer in the U.S. What if I told you for just $54.95 a month you could fight against heart disease naturally? At Heart and Body Extract, we've been helping thousands of people get back to a healthier heart. Don't just take my word for it. Check out all of the success stories at hbextract.com. Or to order, call 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. hbextract.com. Don't risk it when you can take charge of it.
Hunters, anglers, campers, and survivalists, get back to nature. Expand your horizons with the highest quality, most versatile, unique slingshots and sling bows on the market at slingbow.com. Slingbow products are compact and models start from just $17.98. They're perfect for your bug out bag or storing in your vehicle. Give yourself and your loved ones the excitement and tradition of slingbow, a new frontier in archery and truly modern twist on this primitive survival tool. Feel the thrill only at slingbow.com.
USA Radio News with Wendy King.
President Trump has lit a political firestorm, admitting that the administration has discussed the idea of moving migrant detainees to cities that protect illegal immigrants. He wants to bring a change to the immigration policy.
California certainly is always saying, oh, we want more people, and they want more people in their sanctuary cities. Well, we'll give them more people. We can give them a lot. We can give them an unlimited supply.
California is home to several sanctuary cities which refuse to cooperate with federal immigration officials. The president's position appeared to catch DHS officials off guard. Critics say the president is using migrants as pawns to go after political opponents. Democratic presidential contender Pete Buttigieg has blasted Vice President Mike Pence's cultural and religious conservatism. Pence said they used to have a great working relationship. This is USA Radio News.
Dish TV is better than cable TV. Why? Because you can save 45% on packages compared to your high-priced cable bill. Wow. Take those giant scissors out and cut the cable and save with Dish TV. Plus, you get a free DVR upgrade to record your favorite shows and free installation. And with Dish Anywhere, you can watch TV for free on your mobile device. Act fast. You can save hundreds of dollars. Does your cable company do that for you? I don't think so. Get all the best TV programming at your fingertips at a fraction of the price of cable TV. So say adios, arrivederci, goodbye to the high cable bill, and save up to 45% on Dish TV packages today. These are limited time offers and can change at any time. Call fast. 800-610-5739. 800-610-5739. 800-610-5739. That's 800-610-5739.
Have you checked your Google search results lately? Search results are usually the first impression that people form of you or your business. So make sure that they create a positive impression with Reputation Defender. What the internet says about you can have a big impact on your life and your livelihood, even if it's not true. Fortunately, you can now control how you look online and in online search results with Reputation Defender. Call 800-831-0771 now. That's 800-831-0771. For your free reputation analysis. If you have negative material from an ex-employee, upset patient, or former client, newspaper article, legal issue, social media, or other source showing up in your search results, you can combat it with Reputation Defender. Our dedicated experts in patented technology can help make your online search results look their best. Call 800-831-0771 to learn more. 800-831-0771. That's 800-831-0771.
This is Jacques Vallée. You're listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
William Puckett is continuing his discussion, fascinating investigations of UFOs or UAPs or whatever you call it. Hey, that's a new acronym. Whatever, WUCI, whatever you call it. No, nobody likes it. William?
No, that would be the WYCA or CI.
Well, I'm sure people have come up YC. With a number of acronyms. The debunkers have a few of their own, you know.
Well, yeah, we were just talking before the break briefly about I guess commonly now they call it the Nimitz UFO case that happened back in November of 2004, but that we only just found out about back in 2017, where they sent some F-A-18 fighter jets up to try to intercept some sort of a craft that was being tracked on radar and seen by the pilots, too.
Right. That case was, you know, I believe it was in the New York Times article, that particular case. And, you know, they had some footage of it, and it was certainly compelling. I suspect that there's many more out there. You know, that's what we saw. And I don't know, I guess that was a 4 or 5 year study. I mean, the gentleman that, you know, the one that actually talked to the New York Times actually resigned because he said they should continue funding of it because he felt like they were finding, you know, certainly, you know, compelling information. So I suspect there's many more cases out there of military craft chasing UFOs. I mean, there's even the cases where they've lost military craft chasing UFOs. I believe there was one over the Great Lakes region. I think that goes way back into the late 50s. Right. They never have found that airplane.
No. There's been some claims that they'd found it, but then they never turned out to yield any evidence. With the Nimitz case, I mean, we're talking FA-18s, so fighter attack aircraft, much more modern than the case that you're talking about. I mean, we're talking about, you know, multi-million dollar craft, that can fly, aircraft that can, they're made for investigating the highest tech stuff that can come into our airspace by the enemies on our world that we know about. So if these things can go up and they can't keep up with it and are just completely left in the dust by it, it really has to make you wonder what it is that these craft are. Have you seen the interview with David Fravor, the pilot, who actually saw the thing?
I have not, no. I'm familiar with what the New York Times printed, and but I've not seen a specific interview with a pilot.
Some pretty good stuff. There was another case I wanted to ask you about, and I imagine you probably have heard of it, and maybe you can fill us in a little bit more on it if you have. And this was happened, interestingly, back in October of 2017. So this would have been just before these sightings that you were talking about prior to the break happened as well. And this was a craft that was seen in broad daylight flying amid air traffic around 37,000 feet over Oregon.
You know
the one I'm talking about?
I heard of that case. I did not get details on it. I did hear of it. There was another one I'm more familiar with, and I believe it was in Arizona, where pilots saw this huge craft. It was illuminated by lightning, and it was a huge aircraft, and they called it into the FAA, two independent sightings, and they did not have the particular craft on radar. But I heard of the one in Oregon, but I'm not familiar with the details of it.
Yeah, they scrambled some F-15s to try and catch that one, and they got up there and couldn't find it either.
I know that on the West Coast, because I lived in the Seattle area for almost 30 years, the only aircraft that are prepared to scramble, they have two F-15s at the Oregon Air National Guard. They cover Washington and Oregon completely. So I can understand why, you know, they would have scrambled them in Oregon.
Well, these ones apparently went up from McCord in Washington, but
They did. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, they can fly to sometimes they're at McCord, but they're stationed at Portland the Oregon Air National Guard is where they are permanently.
Must be nice, eh? I mean, to have, you know, okay, UFO sighting, let's just jump in our F-15s and go have a look. You know, must
absolutely
be nice. You know, they've got it. When they can do that, William, you've got to know that they must know a whole lot more about what those things are than what we're being told or what we know. Because incidents like this manage to get leaked out to the public, and then we hear about them. But imagine how many don't.
Well, that's correct. You know, talking about NORAD and policies, prior to 9/11, NORAD or the Air Force or, you know, the whole military complex would only scramble craft that were approaching U.S.-Canadian airspace. Since 9/11, they changed the policy after the terrorists, you know, did their damage in 9/11. Of any unknown aircraft within contiguous 48 states in Canada. So they started scrambling, and they weren't finding anything. But they were seeing a lot of blips on radar, unknowns. So they kind of cut their policy back, you know, changed their policy about the threshold of scrambling. Obviously, they were still doing it in 2017, but maybe they have a higher threshold. And there was a good article in the Tacoma Tribune. It's on my website. I believe that article, I don't know, 2009 or 10, somewhere in there. I can't remember the exact date. They printed an article, and they showed the radar console operators at McCord Air Force Base, which you just mentioned. Those console operators looked at all of the radar sites around the U.S. I believe they're west of the Mississippi in McCord. And they interviewed the commander. A lot of them are weekend warriors, Air National Guard. And he has his cap on of a flying saucer and his cap. And I'm wondering, is that a joke or a message? And I actually have a picture of it on my website.
Maybe a little of both, I would say, because right. that's what's so wonderful about it is that, you know, there is a lot of entertainment value and cultural significance to ufology, but I mean, they don't send F-15s up to intercept something that isn't there that they think is just a joke, you know?
That's correct. I mean, they're a threat. And like I say, a lot of times they don't find anything. Now, there's a reason for that. I mean, UFOs, they've been known to just jet away. I mean, I get reports like that all the time. They'll see something, a cylindrical object, a dish-shaped craft, and then all of a sudden, whoosh, it's gone, just like that, you know. And a lot of UFOs don't show up on radar. There's a good reason for that. I mean, they don't have, like, the classic flying disc, which, you know, that started the whole thing with Kenneth Arnold starting in 1947. They have what we call a very low, thin, what we call radar cross-sectional area, just like stealth aircraft do. So if they're oriented a certain way, parallel to the radar beam, they're not going to show up. And so there's only specific times where they may show up on radar. And who knows, maybe they've got other cloaking things where, you know, where they, you know, have a cloaking device. I mean, we've already developed that technology already, you know, that technology where you deflect photons to go around and then they, show the image behind the craft, you know. I mean, and stealth technology deflects photons to a degree.
Let's break it here. Just want to tell everybody, our cloaking technology did not come from the Romulans. Just want to assure you of that, okay? William, Gene, and Randall, you're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
Do you need a website? Well, you can get a great deal on hosting services with Namecheap's legendary coupon code. They're offering substantial hosting discounts on shared hosting, business hosting, VPS hosting, reseller hosting, and even dedicated servers. Namecheap is preferred by millions. It's backed by a money-back guarantee. Use the coupon code LEGENDARY to cash in on the special deal at Namecheap.com, Namecheap.com.
First came Attack of the Rockoids, and it was a critically acclaimed success. And now there is The Coming of the Protectors. A former military intelligence man is contacted by a space woman in a dream. A dream that turns out to be a nightmare, because evil forces on her distant planet are planning to conquer the Earth. This is gripping science fiction of the classic kind. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors. Find out more at Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids, Rockoids.com.
The United States of Empire is a book that claims the United States is the empire of the world. George Washington had warned us against foreign wars. The United States of Empire shows that World Wars I and II left England broken. Its former colony, the U.S., had to save the empire. Was there ever a vote? Who do we fight for? The Deep State began with World War I. The United States of Empire by James Dunn. Available at Amazon Books.
Fellow Patriots, my name is Todd Savage, founder of BlackRifleRealEstate.com. Like you, I was a prisoner of the alt-left sanctuary state until one day I chose to lead my family to freedom. Today we live on a sustainable 20-acre homestead where we shoot, hunt, garden, and homeschool our children without the tyranny of the nanny state looking over us. If you're ready to flee the city to the freedom of Idaho or Montana, our Black Rifle Real Estate team is here to help. Go to BlackRifleRealEstate.com. That's BlackRifleRealEstate.com.
Do you feel like many of us? All the distractions in the world taking our minds and focus off what really needs to get done day to day? Well, Jeunesse has a dietary supplement called Mind to help with mental distraction, and it supports memory function. Go to GCNLife.com now to check it out. You're only at your best when your mind is at its best. Go to GCNLife.com or call toll free 844-443-6637. That's GCNLife.com or 844-443-6637.
No
someone with a drinking or drug problem? Learn how to get sober after we share these stories.
I was 35 with two beautiful children when my life and addiction started to spiral out of control. After my divorce, I went into a depression cycle and started drinking more often and using prescription drugs. After my second DWI and arrest, my ex-husband threatened to take our children away from me.
I was 17 when I became addicted to heroin and meth. I thought I could quit on my own, but I couldn't. It hit me when I was arrested.
Get sober now. Your private insurance may cover costs, and we'll get you here. It's simple. Just call Elite Rehab Placement right now. Please, don't wait. Your life matters to us.
800-213-9264, 800-213-9264, 800-213-9264. Call right now before it's too late. 800-213-9264.
Bacon lovers, we ship free. Try our amazing bacon. No refrigeration required. Proprietary value-added packaging provides 10-year shelf life and protects the leanest, thickest, center-cut, fully cooked bacon in America today. Ready to eat right from the pouch or warm and serve. Savory and delicious. Wholesale price for your everyday use. Order today at readytoeatbacon.com. Readytoeatbacon.com.
This is Jerome Clark, author of the UFO Encyclopedia and other books. You're listening to the Paracast.
You know, when you mentioned this, William Puckett, about our achievements in cloaking technology, and we have to assume that ET is able to come here, they'd be way, way, way farther advanced. What do you think about theories that maybe we recovered a UFO, possibly at Roswell or elsewhere, and that we have been trying to reverse engineer alien technology? Would it, first of all, be even possible, except maybe, you know, a little bit of scraping at the edges, but do you think there's any evidence of that?
Allegedly, Colonel Philip Corso, who's now passed away, he wrote The Day After Roswell. And allegedly, when he was in the Pentagon, he was given the Roswell wreckage, artifacts of it, and his task was to leak it to defense contractors, which he claimed he did. He claimed he did that with super tenacity fibers, which he developed bulletproof vests, lasers, chip technology, which was leaked to AT&T. So, you know, he claimed he did that. Now, is there proof of that? I don't know.
There seems to be lots of proof that it isn't true. At least, well, I mean, it depends on what you think of as proof. You know, proof is just evidence that's sufficient to justify belief in a claim. So for some people, proof might not be the same as what other people's proof would be. So it's a very subjective thing, but really, I mean, you're a scientist, William. You got to know that a lot of those claims just really don't stand up.
Well, they haven't. I mean, you have his word that he did that, and Philip Corso was not no Johnny on the street. I mean, he was, he testified in front of a congressional committee on POWs being held in the Soviet Union, from North Korea, from the Korean War, and he was right. He also testified of dogfights between Soviet and U.S. fighters in the Cold War, and he was right. Then again, when I listened to his interviews, I listened to some of his early interviews, my impression of him, he was a colonel, and he was in two major conflicts, World War II and Korea, a decorated veteran. He impressed me, and this is my own opinion, as being he could be somewhat deceptive and interjecting a lot of things in stories. In these particular cases, when he testified in front of Congress, he was proven to be right. So he does have credibility. But just because you have credibility doesn't mean you're prone to exaggeration. And when I listened to him, I had some doubts about some things he was talking about. He would kind of smile and say, well, Ripley would say, believe it or not, you know.
Yeah, well, I think he had quite a bit of help in that regard from his co-author there. It was Bill Burns, wasn't it, Gene?
It was, and Bill, at the time, and we'd interviewed him a few times on the Paracast, not lately, he swore that fundamentally it was accurate, and he just basically helped clean up the text. But it also read like crime fiction, true crime fiction, which is, of course, the kind of stuff that Bill Burns wrote. It read like a fictional story. And, again, that was styling. I mean, if we go back to Major Keogh's books in the 50s, they read like Pulp Fiction because he was a Pulp Fiction writer. But, as I said, that doesn't denigrate from the possible factual accuracy. But the thing that bothered me, in addition to the possibility that these inventions were reverse engineered from alien technology, is where it seemed that Corso was inflating his own credentials a little bit. Just a surface observation.
Well, I kind of concur with that. And I know Bill Burns. I was on some episodes of UFO Hunters. I worked with Bill Burns on some TV. I was on a couple of UFO Hunter documentaries, Code Red and Aliens at the Airport were the two episodes I was on. And I was on Bill Burns' radio show once. But also George Knapp, anchor at I believe it's CBS News affiliate in Las Vegas. He originally interviewed Philip Corso, but Philip Corso talked about two other incidents. He talked about when he was at Fort Riley, Kansas in 1947, where one of the MPs or the security guards saw this, he had this crate and this aircraft landed, or no, a truck went through there, and they stored the truck in a security hangar to keep people from looking. And he claims he opened up a crate and saw this strange body. And Philip Corso claimed he saw that. I don't know. Is that true? Maybe, maybe not. They claim that was Roswell debris going to Wright Patt Field. And they stopped at Fort Riley, Kansas from Carswell Air Force Base in Fort Worth, Texas. But Corso also talks about a specific incident down at White Sands where he went out, they saw a UFO out somewhere outside, and he claimed he took his .45 and got in a Jeep and saw an alien in a cave and talked to him. Do you believe that? Mm. I don't know. Those are fantastic stories, and, who's going to disagree with it,
Well, that's you bring up an interesting point, I guess, because I guess what the more serious ufologists, say like Hynek was one in the past, tended to sort of distance themselves somewhat from the wilder claims, especially the contactees and that sort of thing, because they just sound so fantastic. And without any real evidence to back up those claims, there was a problem with your own credibility or perceived credibility to the rest of the public. So, and I can relate to that. I unabashedly will describe myself as a ufologist, but do I believe in the claims of contactees? No, not really, because they haven't really told us anything that we don't already know, for one thing.
That's correct. I mean, you're strictly at the whim of the witness in those cases. I mean, I've had people that have called me that have just been blatantly terrified of experiences. Do I believe they had them? Probably they did, but what caused them? I don't know. I mean, this is a Paragas paranormal. I would like to just briefly discuss a case I had. I think that was 2005, shortly after I got my website up a couple of years. A woman in Hawaii called me. I was out of town, and she left a voicemail, and I could just hear the terror in her voice, and she claimed that her and her boyfriend, they lived on the Big Island of Hawaii, and a lot of lots in the Big Island are huge. They're kind of mini farms, 10 acres, and they'd been in the hot tub, and they had a couple of drinks. They weren't intoxicated, and earlier that evening, their dog came in and just ran in the house and crawled under the bed, was just terrified, and they thought maybe the dog had encountered a wild pig. I guess there's wild pigs in that island. They were out sitting in a chair in their patio, and all of a sudden these red lights come up, several of them, and they just shot beams right at them, like periscopes, she described it, from a submarine, and just engulfed them in light and just terrified the crap out of both of them. And then she walked away and got up on in a house and tried to call her brother on a cell phone, and it shot a beam right at her in her house. And this went on for several minutes, and finally they both got on their knees and started praying, closed their eyes, and the things went away. She said she hadn't had any sleep in 2 days. They called the police. The police didn't do anything. Do I believe that story? I mean, she was pretty terrified, but do I have proof? No, I do not. Strictly at the whim of the witness. So that's a case that would kind of talk about what you just mentioned.
Well, I absolutely love those kinds of stories. I really like listening to them. I don't have any doubt. And so, you know, for our listeners, don't get me wrong here. I don't disbelieve that people have some very strange experiences. I know I've had enough myself, but whether or not any specific one can actually be shown to be true, it just isn't the case. We don't seem to have any evidence, or I should say sufficient evidence, to prove that something objectively real happened to people who have had these experiences. And that's the frustrating thing. After all of this time, why don't we have some more definitive, material, scientifically valid evidence that would prove to the people who require that kind of evidence that alien craft are real?
You know what's real? These announcements. That's a terrible one, isn't it? William, Gene, and Randall, you're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
We also have swag. You know, we have all these exclusive Paracast things that you can buy. We've got, like, I guess 60 or so different items, and entails T-shirts, sleeves for notebook computers, iPad cases, mouse pads, the Paracast Jumbo tote bag, all sorts of T-shirts and jackets and stuff like that for men and women. We have a Paracast aluminum water bottle. All this stuff, you go to store.theparacast.com, store.theparacast.com. What makes it special is that the items are the best quality, you know, great T-shirts, fabrics, and they have our official logo on them. That's what makes them special, in multiple sizes and colors. We even have stuff for children, stuff for women, stuff for men. We have all sorts of sizes, like small up to X large. A lot of good stuff. That's the swag from the Paracast. You go to store.theparacast.com, stop by, and take a shopping tour.
Stocks and options trading involves financial risk and is not suitable for all investors.
Hey guys, it's Scott Bauer here, CEO of Prosper Trading Academy. Are you looking for a super hot stock tip? Here at Prosper, we are always looking for exciting opportunities in the markets. And right now, all my students are salivating over this stock we are watching. In fact, I've got this hot stock written down right here, and I'm about to text it to you for free. I just need to know where to send it. Simply text HOT to 48542, and I'll text it to you instantly. How do I know this stock is so hot? Well, I'm a former CBOE market maker for Amazon Options, former vice president of Goldman Sachs, and I have over 25 years of professional trading experience. I'm telling you, this stock is hot. But be warned, the stock may move soon, so you need to claim it before it does. Text HOT to 48542, and I'll text you this hot stock instantly. Text HOT to 48542, and I'll text you this hot stock instantly. Message and data rates may apply.